Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
I have with me Todd Tomasella. He's the author of Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us. Todd, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brother Jesse. Good to be on.
Thank you for being with me. Before we get into the discussion of the deceivers among us and false prophets among us, did you see the press conference last night on the president?
Sure did not.
You did not see it?
Was it? No.
All right, well, we won't get into that. When you say deceivers and false prophets among us, who are you referring to and what do you mean by false prophets?
Great question. Jesus himself foretold that in the last days there would be many false prophets who would deceive many and that they would devour souls. In fact, the number one and first sign of his return that he gave in Matthew 24 was that there would be false Christ and also false prophets who would mislead many.
And are they amongst us right now?
Absolutely.
And who are they?
A false prophet in the biblical sense, that's somewhat of a wider definition. In the most biblical sense, I believe it would be somebody who feigns to be representing the Lord Jesus Christ and actually, while feigning to represent him, is actually misrepresenting him.
Right. Are you able to name some false prophets that are amongst us right now?
Yeah, the whole Word of Faith movement is conglomeration of false prophets. I used to be a part of that movement myself. Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Myers. They have to espouse certain false teachings in order to be a part of that movement that actually cut at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have several pages of wolves exposed on our website, and those are some of the people that are exposed. Also, Rick Warren is another one, Joel Osteen. These men are not preaching the Word of God. They're preaching some other message, and Paul said they're accursed, Galatians 1, 6 through 9.
Tell me, what are they saying? Make it simple. What are they teaching that is false?
Great question, Brother Jesse. The number one thing that a person has to do if they're going to discern between a true and a false prophet is, first of all, have the Word of God in your own heart, because you can't discern between true and false unless you know the Word of God yourself. But also, what are they doing that makes them false prophets? Your question is, well, first of all, they're not preaching the line upon line, precept upon precept, gospel and Word of God. That alone makes them completely false. See, when a man has to make up his own sermons because he has chosen to reject God's message, Ezekiel was told by the Lord, speak with my words unto them. And then 1 Peter 4:11, the scripture instructs, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. Paul told Timothy to preach the word, just the word, that's it. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine.
So when you say preach the word, you mean literally preach from the Bible, right? Like word for word, line for line, from the Bible.
Exactly.
These guys seem to be doing that.
They seem to be doing that.
Go ahead.
If you're not in the Word yourself, you can be misled and led around by the nose by a man who will siphon a verse here and a verse there to the exclusion of the whole contextual Word of God.
Now, let me ask you this, just because I want people to really understand what you're saying. When they get before their congregations, they open the Bible and they read the Bible aloud and they talk about what they read. So I'm not getting what you're saying, because they are reading from the Bible.
Right, they are. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to take a verse like 3 John 2, which says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. But they're going to take it out of its context. Right there in that same small book of 3 John, the word truth is mentioned numerous times. But they will never give attention to that. And prosperity of soul comes from adhering to and loving the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth, and his word that he said is the truth.
So they'll focus on the prosperity aspect of that line, of that verse, rather than the word truth.
Exactly. And the true prosperity of the Lord is even as your soul prospers in the truth, not how many cars you can get and how big of a house that you have. These guys are described in the third chapter of Philippians, right at the end, as being those whose God is their belly and who glory in their shame, that they will have damnation. It says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You see, when a man's focused and focused on a physical building or things that are physical in this world, he's described here as being a false prophet. You see, that's one of the cardinal ways that you know a false prophet is he does not uphold Jesus Christ as the head of his church, Colossians 2, verse 18 and 19. That's the only way we can be saved, is to be in Christ and upholding him. We're complete in Christ, and all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in the Lord Jesus Christ.
But the truth is, one aspect of the truth is that God wants his children, those who belong to him, and all people do not belong to God, are not children of God, but he wants his children to be prosperous. He said that he will open up a window of heaven and you will have so much that you would not have enough room to receive it. And so these guys seem to be pointing that out, and that is the truth, right?
Well, it is the truth, but, and I'm glad you brought that up. The way that they entice people to go about that is to seek the thing. You seek the gift, not the giver. And the blessings of God only come by way of the cross, by denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. And God will, as you lay down your life, then God will raise you up and bless you as he chooses to. But if you begin running after those things and don't allow God to purge the lust and the greed of your heart, then you are in big trouble, according to Scripture. 1 Timothy 6 outlines what happens to people that go after the riches of this world. And it's a very, very dark picture, and they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy 6 would be definitely a chapter that the whole Word of Faith movement completely and purposely avoid, because it does not play into their scheme to do what Peter said the false prophets would do in the last days, and that's make merchandise of you.
So what you're saying is that these guys are put in, they're right in that God wants his children to be wealthy, to have what they need and want, but these guys are putting that before salvation or anything else.
Absolutely.
Are you saying that?
Absolutely.
They have large congregations. I mean, just hundreds and hundreds of people in their churches. Why don't the people recognize that?
Perfect question, because they're not in the Word themselves, and they're depending on a man to lead them. And it's in fulfillment of prophecy. Many would be led astray by the many false prophets. See, another kind of aspect of what we're talking about is these guys teach about being happy. But let's see what the Bible says about being happy. Job 5, 17 and 18. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. See, when God begins to correct us and chasten us and bring us to the place that he wants us spiritually, then perhaps he can find us faithful to bless us in other ways.
Go ahead.
We got to go the way of the cross, brother. We can't try to circumvent the cross, and that's the problem. If a man's not preaching Christ, and that men are called to deny themselves, take up the cross and follow him and be crucified with Christ, presenting themselves a living sacrifice to him daily, then he's a false teacher.
You said that you were a part of that for a while?
Yes, sir.
How did you get into it?
I got into it because I got saved under that kind of ministry, and though was led to listen to and buy the whole package of the false prosperity gospel.
How deeply were you involved?
Actually, very deeply. I used to preach it in churches and wrote about it and was doing ministry in that regard according to those few scriptures. scriptures that they use to the exclusion of the rest.
So are you a pastor?
Yes.
You are a pastor. And so who did you work with when you were in there? Who are you close to?
Probably wouldn't be anyone that you knew, especially, you know, on a local basis. In North Alabama is where I lived at the time.
Oh, I see.
But I mean, I espoused all the known teachers and stuff.
And what caused you to have a change of heart?
Great question. Just staying in the Word of God. Staying in the Word of God, I began to see that there was a whole more to the whole counsel of God than what was being presented and how he was being misrepresented by these particular people.
Are you familiar with Fred Price?
Yeah.
Is he one of these false prophets?
Absolutely.
He is.
Yeah.
Todd, I need to know, do these people see themselves as false prophets? Do they know that they're false prophets?
That's a great question. I think in some cases they do, and in some cases they're totally deceived. But the only way a man can be deceived is that he denies Christ instead of self on a daily basis.
How about a man like Joel Osteen? Do you think that he's a false prophet?
Absolutely. Yeah, he makes up his own message every week instead of just preaching the Word of God. Full counsel of God.
So he makes his message, meaning that he doesn't use the Bible at all?
He uses very little scripture. What he does is he puts God aside because somehow a false prophet believes that he's wiser than God. So he's got a better and more, if you will, relevant message than God would have. And I use that term relevant. It's a buzzword among deceivers. They're trying to be relevant to people. The whole seeker-friendly movement, Rick Warren, Joel Osteen, Bill Hybels, etc. This whole movement and all of their, those that aspire to be mega church pastors and community church pastors, they're marketing their community. They're farming their community. They're trying to please men, not God. Paul said, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You're either serving God or you're serving man. You either fear God or you fear man. When you fear man and you love yourself, then you're going to go out and try to build your church business, and that means you're going to throw away all the stinger doctrines, all the convicting doctrines like hell and how it's eternal, about the holiness of God and how he commands us to be ye holy, and about the daily cross of denying yourself, putting yourself aside, taking up your cross, and following Christ and being crucified with Christ. See, so Christ himself gets sacrificed on the altar of self in the life of a false prophet. And it comes out in the way he goes about his ministry.
So he'll open the Bible up, he'll read a verse, or he'll read scriptures, right? And then he'll close the Bible back up and then talk from that verse that he read.
Yeah, he
or speak from that verse he read.
He normally reads like one scripture or something. I mean, he's the most, Joel Osteen is the most obvious false prophet in America. He does not preach that men must repent. He refuses to preach on sin. These things are all over scripture.
Oh, he never speaks of sin?
No, he actually comes out and tells us he would never get deep theologically.
Right.
Or he would never preach on sin. His stated goal is to build a 100,000 member church. And in order to do that, what do you got to do? Well, you got Jesus, when he preached, he ran 5,000 men off. And then 12 remain. I mean, do the math. If you've got a huge church, chances are it's because you're not preaching the pure Word of God. And Joel Osteen's a good example of that.
That's a good point. I agree with that point. Let me ask, so if that's why he's drawing so many people to his church, because he's not speaking of sin and repent and all that?
Exactly. Well, remember what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4. Preach the word, he says. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall be turned away from the truth. This last day generation can be summed up in the words of Solomon, chapter 30, Proverbs 30, verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, but yet they're not washed from their filthiness. You see, it's only through not seeking God and letting him, crying out to him to create in you a clean heart, renew a right spirit within you, to search you and know you and try you. If you're not doing that, if you're not earnestly seeking the Lord, your heart will be full of iniquity and you'll be drawn to the false prophets.
I noticed that Joel Osteen, I haven't seen a lot of him, but I noticed that most of his stuff is happy. You know, it's all happiness. It makes you feel good. Why are so many people so attracted to it?
Well, because because everybody wants to be happy, but God didn't call us to be happy as much as he called us to be holy. And so they want to take this path of the quick fix, give me the placebo pill and make it all right. That's not how it works with God. You've got to die. The true remnant of Christ, the Bible describes in Isaiah 37:31, it says, the remnant of God are those who take root downward and bear fruit upward. See, when I humble myself in the sight of the Lord, James 4:10, then he lifts me up in his power and his grace and by his spirit to do his will. And then I'm filled with the joy of the Lord. I have the love, the joy, the peace, all the fruit of the Spirit. You see, this route to happiness outside of God's prescribed way through the cross is an absolute total counterfeit, and it will never ever result in true happiness. I've been in those congregations myself. And what do you have? You got people that have this fake smile. Oh, I'm blessed. Oh yeah, I'm blessed. Their lives aren't blessed at all.
Yeah.
Instead of just getting real and saying, man, I am absolutely a pauper in utter need of the grace of God today.
Yeah, it's like they're afraid to be honest that it is not working, what they're doing.
Yeah, for years I've covered up. I did it myself.
I was a member of one of those mega churches for a long time, and I too just kind of faked it that I was happy because I don't know why I did. I was afraid to look at the reality that I wasn't or something. I guess you want to believe these preachers when they're up there talking about how wealthy and how happy you're going to be if you do this and do that. Again, how did you get out of it?
I stayed in the Word, brother. In the Word, Jesus said, if you continue, if, only if you continue in his Word. You're in his Word daily.
And so eventually what happened and what did you do once you got out?
Well, it came kind of a few year period. I came out and started warning others, like the Bible tells us to do, earnestly contending for the faith once delivered to the saint and helping people learn. And there's been millions of people, thank God, that have been brought out of these movements, in particular the Word of Faith movement.
Do you have your own church now?
Yeah, I have local fellowship in my place where I live.
And people coming to hear you preach or teach?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not the large crowds, it's the individuals like the 12, Jesus' apostles, who stood there, and Jesus turned to them after the 5,000 people walked off, and he said, hey, are you also going to leave me? And Peter turned to him and said, Lord, where else are we going to go? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. Jesus Christ is eternal life, and being in him is all that matters.
One thing I agree with you about is that you definitely can't judge the church based on the number of people in there. A lot of Christians think that just because 10,000 people go to the church, it means that the preacher is teaching the right message. And most of the time, they are not teaching the right message, and that's why so many people are going there.
That's a good point. In fact, Brother Jesse, if you think about it, the largest religions in the world are completely false. That doesn't make them true, and they got all the money. Does that make them true? No, not at all. Jesus didn't have a lot of money in his ministry. That's another error of the Word of Faith movement. Jesus, it's simply disproven by this. When they needed tax money, you remember Jesus had to send Peter to go catch a fish to get that gold coin?
Yes.
Out of his mouth. They obviously didn't have a whole lot of money on hand. Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head at times.
I guess if you could just go get a fish when you need some money and pull out some gold, you don't need to have it on hand.
That's a good point.
First of all, how have you been treated since leaving that aspect of our religion? And what do you want to do with this book?
Well, what we want to do is help people learn the Word of God. I tell you what, I don't think you'll pick up a book anywhere that's got more scripture that you've probably never heard of or seen right there in the Bible concerning this matter. There's like 5 to 8 whole chapters in the Bible dedicated to warning us about false prophets and false teachers to protect us. God wants to safeguard our soul. So there's the warning that comes out from the Lord Jesus, from his prophets and apostles on a continual basis. So that would be the desire of the Lord. Paul said, after he warned of wolves rising up among you to take away, steal away the flock, teaching false teaching there in Acts 20:27-33. He ended with this. He said, I commend you to God, to the Lord, that is, to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole reason why you were created and saved, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified.
How have you been treated since leaving that, I don't know what to call it, that religion and starting to explore expose what's going on?
Well, you get a mixed reaction. As usual, the Word of God falls on different types of heart soil, but we've been actually very successful. When you start showing people Scripture, most of these people are Christian people, and they want the truth, but they're being misled, and they're not realizing their own need to get in the Word. And when they begin to see Scripture, they go, wow, I didn't know that. Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah.
And then they start to see the deception that they've been led into.
Are you married?
I am single at this time.
You have been married?
Yes, once.
And you were married. Did your wife get upset because you had a change of heart?
No, I had already started that change of heart before that.
Todd, tell the folks how to get your book, how to get to your website.
Sure. The website address is safeguardyoursoul.com. Safeguard, like a safe where you keep valuables. Safeguard, G-U-A-R-D, yoursoul.com.
Todd, I see a lot of churches allow women to become preachers and take it over their churches. Is that okay with God? Is that in the Bible?
That's addressed clearly in the Bible. Jesus said that he would cast Jezebel into a bed, and whoever committed fornication with her, he would destroy her and her children. And that's what you see going on. The fruit of a Jezebel, Jezebel's allowed to rule in the realm of the body of Christ, is death and destruction. One of the qualifications of an elder, according to 1 Timothy 3, is that he must be the husband of one wife. A woman cannot be a husband of one wife. She's completely disqualified to act in that role, and it's for her protection. But most of all, we must follow the Lord and His Word because He said it, not because we understand it.
So why are women thinking that God is calling them to preach, and why are the preachers, the men preachers, allowing it to happen?
Great question. I know part of the emphasis of your ministry is to build the kingdom, see the kingdom of God built in the lives of men.
Yes.
Perhaps you can't have a Jezebel unless you've got an Ahab, an allower, a facilitator of such. Men have to stand up and take their God-given role to lead, to serve, to lay down their lives and serve. And part of that is deflecting and disallowing women to act in a role that God did not call them to act in. Just like in the family, the man has a certain role and the woman, they're distinct, beautiful roles that together make a family. The same thing is in the church. Women can do all kinds of ministry according to the New Testament, but one of them is not to be in leadership in the ultimate sense over men, not usurping authority over
right.
men.
And so are the two questions. The women who are preachers, are they Jezebels?
Absolutely.
They are Jezebels.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't think a true woman of God is of a meek and quiet spirit. And even in the case of her husband, 1 Peter 3, she doesn't try to win him with words. The Bible tells her not to, much less to take over, to usurp the authority over other men that aren't even her husband, to try to teach them and rule over them. And
so why are the preachers, the men preachers, doing it? Why are they allowing it to happen? Because they're not men?
Yeah, well, they're men, but God wants to do some reconstruction, complete reconstruction in their heart, to strengthen them with the might of the Spirit in their inner man, as Paul states, spoke of in his prayer, Ephesians chapter 3, and to give not your strength unto women. Don't give to women what you are supposed to take up in your responsibility to stand forth and live a crucified life before Christ, where He's raising you up in the power, the infinite power of His Spirit to do the things He's called you to do.
And so these preachers, because a lot of these mega church preachers are allowing their wives to become preachers, you know, to get up and preach. I'm not hearing why they're doing it. I may be missing. You're probably saying it.
Well, they're being disobedient.
But I'm not hearing what the answer is.
They're being utterly disobedient. And it goes along with Brother Jesse. Oh, this is Pastor John and Pastor Susan.
Right.
She shouldn't be called pastor.
Right.
That's putting her in an undue place. And it's putting her out to the wolves. And the
so are they afraid of their wives, or are they doing it because their wives were bringing a lot of other women which bring money?
Maybe twofold. But I do think that in many cases, it's like Bill and Hillary Clinton ran that White House.
Like Michelle Obama's running it now.
Exactly. These are spineless men who need to be saved. They need to repent. And God will strengthen their lives to stand forth in His power and His authority to do what He's called them to do.
Have you tried to speak to any of these men, meet with them, or speak to them?
I have spoken with some.
And what do they say to you when you talk to them about? And you talk to them about being false prophets, right?
Yeah, well, we just minister the Word of God concerning that matter and let the Holy Spirit work in their heart.
They disagree with you?
No. In most cases, it's so biblical that you can't disagree with it. And that's why we wrote the book, Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us.
What's your website again?
Safeguard. safeguardyoursoul.com. Safe, S-A-F-E, safeguardyoursoul.com.
Well, Todd, I appreciate you coming on, and I appreciate you trying to wake up these folks to get them to repent and turn away from this, because it is truly needed. I see what the black preachers have done to most black people. They have just used the Bible to control them rather than setting them free. And so I appreciate what you're doing.
That's what's called a Nicolaitan spirit, which Jesus said he hated in Revelation 2. And you can find two chapters in our book, Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us, on the Nicolaitan. That means Nicolaitan, conquer. Nico means conquer. Laitan means the laity.
Wow. Again, folks, the book is Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us by Todd Tomasella, T-O-M-A-S-E-L-L-A. Tomasella. And the website is
safeguardyoursoul.com.
Guardyoursoul.com. Thank you so much for coming on. I wish you well, man.
God bless you, Brother Jesse.
And God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Saints, it's been a blessing to spend these moments in God's Word with you. And remember, on safeguardyoursoul.com, there are many, many hundreds of others, episodes, podcasts at safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. Also, there is a bookstore available at all times on safeguardyoursoul.com. If you click the store button, it's there to serve you. And thank you for praying for this outreach, which is reaching tens of thousands of people each and every month with the Word of God. And to those that are supporting, we so appreciate your vital supply to this outreach. And also, we covet your prayers for fruitfulness, that we reach more and more people in this late last hour as we look so eagerly and diligently for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.